Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I was beginning to wonder about you.
Okay.
Well, maybe you end up having to work.
No.
All right, come on, play.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I love.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Of memory.
Oh, what joy.
My friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
dreams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word, and to give us the guidance and a greater understanding, Father, of the depth and the truth. And Father, we know that this nation needs to repent and turn to you so that it can be healed. Because we have so much going on, Father, now that should not be happening. But we also, Father, understand a lot of the reason for it. But we're asking the Holy Spirit to work with us, to work with others, so that we can bring this land to repentance and put it back upon the foundation in which it was founded, which is your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now be with us, Father, throughout the remainder of this service. And we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be finishing up with the fourth chapter of Acts. And then we're going to be getting on in to chapter 5. Because 4 leads us right into 5. And we don't want to leave anything unsaid or undone. So we're going to be picking up here with our reading in verse 23 of chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For the truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the words of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of Constellation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. May the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this, his word. And now, may the Holy Spirit come forth to share with you and I things that the Lord God has for us this day. And we ask this once again in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're finding here to where, as we went through the first part of chapter 4, how Peter and John had been treated, had been jailed, had been beaten and threatened, all for speaking in the name of Jesus. And you know, most today just don't realize how close we are to being in that same boat. They took him away from us. They took him out of every place he was in. They don't want us using his name in prayer. And they don't want you teaching about him, and especially over the internet. And a lot of places on the internet will cut you off. And they'll ban you from it for doing so. We still have a lot of churches that are still not meeting. And really, it's not because now that the government is actually keeping them from it. They just haven't went back on their own, because the government does still have a limitation on them. So they're staying out. They're wearing their mask, staying at home, not doing anything. And you'd be surprised how many of them there is that's living, still living that kind of life. Now, our government has told us we can open, but we're limited to how many we can have in the church, or so they say. Me, I'd like to see every seat full, and I sure wouldn't stop it. But, and there are others, and there are more coming along that is doing the right thing today, but they are still very few and far between. We've got whole denominations out here that are not obeying the Word of God, nor are they teaching it. And they're not walking with God either. And this is the thing that we find here in chapter 4. You know, as he's talking about here in this last chapter 4, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests, elders had said unto them. Now Peter and John just letting everybody know what had happened, what had been said to them, how they'd been threatened and the whole bit. But as we come on down now through the last part of it, we find out that they're asking now for the Lord to give them boldness to speak the word and to do it, as verse 30 tells us, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. You and I, if we are a born-again child of the living God, we have been given the authority and the right to use that name of Jesus in order to get his word out, as we should be doing, or to do whatever it is that he will ask of you and I to do. Most are not doing it. Most are not. They're not using that name. I'm getting so tired of hearing these preachers in their prayer with, well, in that name, amen. That name can mean anything, anyone. We are to use the name of Jesus. That's what the word tells us. The word tells you and I to pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and he will hear from heaven. And he tells us, if you know that I hear from heaven, then you know I will grant your wishes, as long as our wishes will line up with the Word of God. A lot of times we ask for things that God don't want us to have. And if it's not according to his will, we're not going to get it. It seems like we can't understand that. We just think, well, you know, he's not answering prayer anymore. No. Look inside yourself and see what it was you was asking for and why you were asking for it. You know, we can't go to God and ask him with any expectation of receiving if we're going to ask for things to lift up my pride or for selfishness, because he's not going to grant that. But if it's something we really need, then yes, we can expect to receive it. You know, we are told to call things that are not as though they were, and to continue doing that until they become things done. And that's what most can't do. Once they don't receive something, just instantly, that doubt creeps in. In unbelief. And when doubt and unbelief creeps in, then things don't work. Because then we begin to move even with fear. And you know, a lot of times we'll tell stories to people, but we don't know how dangerous that really is. But we're getting ready to find out. Because just because you may lie to a man don't mean that you're actually lying to him. It's who that man is. What is he? What is the situation? And why is it being done? As we go to chapter 5 here, you start here with verse 1. He says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now they're getting ready to lie to a man. But we're getting ready to find out just how dangerous that can be. Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You see, Peter was letting him know, you're not lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. This promise was made to God, and this is who you're lying to. And we're going to see, and us don't get away with that. Nor will you and I today get away with lying to the Holy Spirit or to God. It won't work. Now, we may not receive what Ananias received for it, because you see, in verse 4, Peter tells him, he says, while it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? He said, you haven't lied to man, you've lied to God. Because this was a covenant. He could have kept back part of that if he'd have said, no, I got so much for it, but I needed some of it. But he didn't. He lied about it. Like we make all kinds of excuses. And we'll make promises. Then we don't keep those promises. So if those promises have been made to God or about God, and you don't keep them, you're walking on awful dangerous ground. And just as Ananias here, in verse 5, was about to find out. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. He's dead. He's gone. Because he lied to God. How is it in your life? Are you walking in honesty with God? You see, it's like when I'm talking to people about the church and inviting them to church, I let them know, this is a church. You don't have to dress up to be there. You don't have to worry about, well, I don't have clothes to go. I'd like to go, but I don't have clothes. Because God don't look on the outside. As long as you're covered, as you should be, that's all that matters. It don't matter if you're covered with sackcloth. Because God is looking at the heart. It's what inside. That's what he's concerned with. And that's what we need to be concerned with, is the inside of us. Are we honest with God? And are we giving him our best? Or are we making excuses? Lord, I can't do this as I want to, or as maybe I should, because I've got all these things going now, and it's taking my time to take care of them. And I need to take care of them. No, you need to take care of God first and do the things you know that you should be doing for him, and then he will see that the other things are taken care of. Now, Pastor, you don't know all that. Oh, yes, I do. Been down that road. And I know all the time I made excuses, it didn't work. But when it came to the point that I no longer made excuses, I started doing what needed to be done in order to be pleasing unto God, things began to work. And I began then to receive blessings from God. And things began to the point of being taken care of. I couldn't even realize actually how well. And there is even some still today that I really don't know where it came from. But it was there. Makes you wonder, don't it? And we need to wonder. We need to stop and think. But Ananias, now, he wasn't by himself. Because you see, he and his wife had got together, and they had agreed for both to tell this lie, to be a part of this lie. But he fell down, gave up the ghost, and said, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And she don't know what had happened. But she's going to stand on this agreement with her husband. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. She's standing on that lie. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. She's getting ready to pay the same price that her husband paid for lying to the Lord God. Verse 10, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Both now are gone from the earth because of lying to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. They were believing they was lying to a man, but that promise had been made to God. And that man they were telling this lie to was filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, known better. And they paid a great price for that. Verse 11 says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. We need a great fear on the church today to straighten these churches out, because they're not walking in any fear. If they was, they would be following and doing things for God instead of doing what mankind has told them to do. You say, well, that's the government and they're supposed to obey the government. That's true. Unless it's contrary to God's word, which is exactly what's happening today. And we are told all about it. We're told how to act. We're told what can happen and even what can't happen. And we're told that if we are walking with the Lord our God, it don't matter what comes along. It can't touch us, nor our dwelling place. So why be afraid? You see, where there is fear, when you're walking with fear of anything, there's no faith there. None. And without faith, we cannot serve the living God. It takes faith and belief and love. It takes those three working together in order to be able to walk as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to do the things that God will call upon us to do. Now, verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. You see, there again we're talking about unity. They were all with one accord. They've got that one thought, that one mind. They're standing together in unity. With one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. You see, when they would come together and stand in unity, they were drawing people to the Lord our God. And that's what we need in the world of our churches today. We need our churches, no matter what denomination, get away from denominationalism, come together, stand in God's word, become his church, because that's what we are to be. Become his church, and we will see that more people are being reached for him, and the harvest will become greater. But you're not doing it. Not doing it at all. Now, Fifteen. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Just his shadow. Think about that. Today, if somebody was to pass by here and see a bunch of stretchers out here with sick people on them, we'll stop and talk to somebody that was there with them and ask them, what you got there? Well, I'm waiting for the pastor to pass by because just his shadow is going to heal this sick. They'd be ready to put all of us in the loony bin, wouldn't they? Yet that's what was happening. Why was it happening? Because of faith and belief in Almighty God and His power. We're not believing today as we should. And we want things too quick. Lord, I need your touch. I've got pain here and I've got pain there. Now, Lord, I need your touch. And I need it right now. If it don't come right now, well, I'm not going to get it. Well, you're right. Because when you made that statement, I'm not going to get it, you just stopped it. Because you let doubt in there. You call it into being by calling it done when it's not there. But you continue calling it, it's done, I'm healed, until it happens. And it will happen. It may take a little time. Because God knows when and how. We don't. But mankind don't stop and think about these things. Now, they're bringing the sick just so that even Peter's shadow can touch them. Verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Every one of them. All that had been brought. Think how little faith we're walking with today. Not very much, are we? When we're not seeing too much going on. We're not seeing these signs and wonders that we should be seeing. And there's no difference. There's no change been made. God's word is still the same. It has not changed. It's not going to change through the continuation of this church age. It will stay the same. It's man that has changed. And his change hasn't been for the best. Now we are seeing a few now begin to change back. And we are beginning to see a few things happen. not what we ought to be seeing, but we are seeing a few things take place. All right, now here in 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now, they're not liking what's going on. Because for one, the Sadducees, that sect of Sadducees, don't believe in resurrection. They don't believe in any raising from the dead. They don't believe that after you die, you're going to raise again. They don't believe that. They're still looking for ways to get rid of these disciples and the apostles. And here again, in 18. Now they were filled with indignation there in 17. 18 says, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Back in prison they go. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. Now here they had just been put back into prison. Now the Lord's telling them, you go back into the church and preach the same thing. What's happened to our men today? No way. No way are they going to do it. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and talked. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now, they, as of yet, the high priest and them didn't know. You see, we're talking about the leadership of the temples and the synagogues of that day and time. They're the ones that's after the apostles, and really, they are the ones that should have known better. Because they knew about these prophecies and all down through generations, even before them, prophesying that this was going to come about. But yet, they're not accepting it. Just as they're not accepting the things today. Most of our churches today are teaching that the gifts of the Spirit died with the apostles, that they don't work in our church today. The only reason they're not working in our church today is because the people are not using them. They're not walking with them. They're not walking in the Spirit. They're not walking in faith. They're not walking in the love of man and mankind. And that's why we're not seeing them. It's not because they've died. No, they haven't. Now, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told them. Now they're letting the high priest and all of them know. They ain't there. Saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. In other words, they found the prison. It was shut and locked, all safety. And the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Prison was just as that should have been. But there ain't nobody there. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Now, they're not wanting this word to grow. They're not wanting it to spread at all. But then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Now they know where they're at. They ain't gone. They just went to the temple. After being caught preaching, put in jail, they're right back doing the same thing. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. They're taking them back now to the council. But they'd done so without violence because they were afraid the people would stone them. 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. We told you not to do that, but you're doing it. Then Peter, and you know, when you really look, pardon me, when you really look at Peter, here was a man before he was filled with the Holy Spirit that denied Christ three times one night because he was walking in fear. But after being filled with the Holy Spirit, he's walking in boldness. Now he's been jailed a couple of times already. He's been threatened. Now he's standing and he's telling them. He says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You can do us whatever you want to, but we're going to obey God, not mankind. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. He's just putting it right where it belongs. You done it. You crucified it. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. You see, this is why our churches today are not doing the things they are supposed to, is because they are not filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And the men and the leaders that are in our churches are not men that is following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they will mention his name once in a while, but it's not in belief and it's not in the truth of his word. We've got a whole lot today, our churches have, to repent from. And you know, just as those seven churches of Asia back in Revelation was judged by God, so will our churches be. And we have been told, in fact, just in the last few days, it's been our message that his judgment will begin at his house. In other words, it's going to begin at the church. And we're seeing it happen right today. That's why we have so many of them today that are closed, still closed. And we're seeing church after church today that is being closed permanent. That may never open again. And it's all because they are not standing on the Word of God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not seeking to be His. They're not seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They want things their way, and most of their way is what they want from this world out here instead of from above. You and I need to be always seeking for things from above and not the things of this world out here. We're not going to be here in this world much longer. We all are going to leave this world. Whether the Lord comes for the church or not, we're going to leave one day. Now, we may not know when, I only know of two people that actually knew when they were leaving. But I do know of two that knew that their time here on earth was done. One was my grandmother. She had been sick for a while. She couldn't bend over to even wash her own feet. My grandfather had to wash her feet for her. But that night, she went to visit my aunt, her daughter, lived just across the yard in an apartment. And she come back, she come in. Grandpa said she just white as a sheet. He asked her, he said, "Mom, what's the matter?" "Oh, no." She said, "I'm all right. I just seen a ghost." Come in. It was getting pretty close to her bedtime. And she told him, she said, "Dad, would you get me a glass of water?" He went in the kitchen to get her a glass of water. He come back. She was sitting in the middle of the bed with her big toe in her mouth. Here's a woman that couldn't wash her feet. Now she got her big toe in her mouth. She took the glass of water. She drank it. And she told him, she said, "Dad, I won't be with you in the morning." He said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "No, I won't be with you in the morning. I'm going home." At 4 o'clock that morning, she was gone. A minister that I know of, Brother William Brannan, out of Jeffersonville, Indiana. He was an evangelist. He'd been going out to California for several years, just one place, preaching. And he's out there preaching. And on his last night there, he told me, he said, "You know," he said, "this will be my last year with you." He said, "I won't be back next year." He said, "Oh, yeah, you'll be back with us next year. We got to have you back." He said, "No, I'm going home." "Well, that's all right. You go home every year." He said, "No, I'm going home." And he started back. He was in his car. Not on Highway 40. He met a truck, tractor and trailer, coming around the curve on the wrong side of the road. Hit it head on. Doctors said he was dead before he ever hit the road. He didn't know how, but he knew he was going home. Most of us don't know how or when. And probably most of us don't want to know. But there are those every now and then that does. It don't seem to bother them, really. Because the two that I know of, they were ready to go. Both of them were. Brother Brandon had a strong ministry. One of the strongest men of God that I've ever known. And he wouldn't approve of what his son did either. Because his son kept the church open. And when you go there to hear a service, his son didn't preach. He played his dad's sermons over and over and over and over. Brother Brandon wouldn't have agreed to that. You've got to go in there to sit and listen to a tape. As far as I know, it's still going on. I haven't heard now in several years, but the last I had heard, it was still happening there in Jeffersonville. So we're going to close with that. And God willing, we can all be together again this evening when we'll be back into the Word of God. I don't know exactly where we'll be, whether God will have us going on from here or what he'll give us, but whatever it is will be good for us. A lot of times, you know, we need to be reminded of things. They'll say, well, you know, you've preached on that before. So? How long to stay with you? I know myself, you know, I'll think, well, I've preached that before. But then as it comes out, there's been a lot of it I haven't thought about for a long time either. You're gone. There one day and gone next. So we need to keep God's word in our hearts. In fact, the scripture tells us, burn it in our hearts. Put it in there. Keep it in there. Meditate on it day and night. Until when we talk, we can use his language. Because you know, a lot of us, our prayers are not answered because we don't pray right. When we go to God in prayer, we need to pray by his word. Pray to him on what his word says. If I need healing, use his word. Lord, your word has told me that I am healed by his stripes. Lord, I'm accepting that. I'm bringing that into my life. I'm calling it done. Because if you are a child of God, you have that right. And that's what we're told to do. And we need to do that about everything that we're concerned about. What does go to the Word and see what the Word says about it before we go to God in prayer, and then use that Word in prayer. And we'll find things are working a whole lot better and a whole lot stronger if we'll do that. But most of us don't. It just, well, you know, we'll take maybe 3 or 4 minutes to say a little old short prayer that's been nothing to it. And we haven't really thought about it. It's got nothing to do with the Word of God. And we don't get anything. And that's the reason, because we are not using the Word of Almighty God in our prayers. And that's what we need to be doing. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place to where we can come and come together with others, Father, to share our word and your word. Share our wishes, our wants, Father. Those that will be in line with your word. Teach us, Father. Teach us how to lift up our voices. How to be able to pray in the Spirit so that we can remove those mountains, Father, that come against us, regardless of what they are. We know that we can because your word tells us so. But Father, we forget so much. Bring these things back to our remembrance, Father. Help us to keep your word in our hearts strong, to keep your word at work in our life, so that, Father, we can spend time with you, talking with you, spending time with you, to see what your wishes are, what your will is, what your want for each one of us to do in this life, and to have, and how to walk. Now, Father, for the saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. Father, we know that right now they are having very little peace. Rockets falling on them daily, Father, on the cities, causing destruction. Now, Father, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Now, Father, for this land of ours, a land that without any excuse whatsoever turned its back and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to do away with your churches today, Father, trying to do away with your people, just as they have taken the Lord Jesus Christ and his name out of everywhere it was at. We ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit can work with us to remove from office of our government those that are against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to replace them with ones that will stand with us and will stand with the Lord and with the church, Father. And help us to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed and that our government can be put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ once again. Now, Father, our prayer list. as these names are called, whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial, may the Holy Spirit be able to help them to fulfill that need. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's friend Sue, Sue's family there in Texas, Amy's husband Tom, and Tom's friend Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma. For Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Father, use this young man in a mighty and great way among the young people there in Texas. For Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the two pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, for this young man, Will, that has been ordained into the ministry. Father, I pray that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit. He's the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what the need is there. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge, Father, where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, that light being Jesus. For this young pastor friend of mine there in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Father, Pastor Zephyrin Hiron, Father, be with them. Keep them safe in those countries and where they travel. Because, Father, we know they're walking in places to where if they're caught, it will mean imprisonment and can even mean life. Now, Father, the Johnson family, the Lee family, the Branson family, my wife's family, my family, and for each and every family that will hear this message, may the Holy Spirit work within these families, touching those that are walking in darkness. Help to lead them, Father, from that darkness to light, that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all will be able to find their way to heaven. Jimmy Embry, Baby Jalay, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for David, for Palance, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, Father, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft. These all need a touch, a healing touch. We're asking, Father, that they accept the healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that we are told in his word that we are healed by his stripes. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this day as we separate. And bring us back together again at 6 p.m. this evening, Father, Eastern time, when once again we can be back into your word. So until then, Father, we give praise, honor, and glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right.